Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. I'm so delighted tonight to be back on our broadcast, our study in the Word of God on our radio broadcast on tonight. I just give God all reverence and praise and give him reverence who is my life to Apostle Deans in his absence and to each one of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I just thank and praise him for an opportunity to be back on this radio broadcast on tonight. We're going to get ready to have a short devotion. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer, and then we're going to start to read. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusted in thee. Yea, in the shadows of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God, most high unto God, that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I even lie, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are sharp in arrows, and their tongues are sharp swords. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit for me into the midst whereof they are falling themselves. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake a psaltery in heart. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. I have just read you from Psalm 57 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're going to have a song.
Sitting here thinking about where I am now, and I'm where I'm supposed to be. In the middle of it, we love to be. I believe. Some people try to tell me I'm not worthy of my destiny, but I'm so glad they didn't give it to me. They were not. And you reply, I'm taking care of this myself. Way see me, I don't know where he's doing it. He's doing it for me. Things you see in me today, he's doing it. Yeah. When they ask me how
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come just confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, we come just thanking and praising you tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus, just for another hour of study, God, in your word. Father, I ask you right now to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight. Father, I ask you right now to touch our hearts and our minds tonight, in the name of Jesus, that we may receive your word, God. We need to receive your word just like it is in the word of God. Lord, we need to receive your word tonight, God. I know that you have a word for us in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you right now to open up our understanding, Lord. Just open it up tonight, Lord, that we may understand what we're reading and what we're studying tonight. I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice, God. And cover them and their families, every member of life support, every member of the end time men and women of war, and every member of the prayer room. Outreach ministry, the prayer room ministry. I ask you tonight, God, to just keep us covered under the shed blood of Jesus. Encamp your angels all around about us to protect us from all hurt, harm, or danger. Father, I'm asking you right now, God, to just move me from myself, that you may teach us, God, that you may use this vessel right now in the name of Jesus. Now I ask you right now to bind the strong man tonight. Father, I bind the strong man from our lives and from this radio broadcasting. I bind up every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every psychic, every demon on assignment. You are bound right now in the mighty name of Jesus. You have no power over this radio broadcast, over our study in the word of God, and over our lives. In the name of Jesus, I bind you up now, and I cast you out now, and I command you to go up in the name of Jesus. Go now. Father, I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. I will start reading in chapter 32. Now, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest, unto the princes and of the congregation, saying, At Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Niphrah and Heshbon, in Elali, and Shebam, and Nebo, and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servant have cattle. Wherefore said they, if we have found grace in the sight, in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh-Barnea to see the land, for when they went up into the valley of Kishkol and saw the land, they discouraged the hearts of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled. The same time he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Jephunneh, and the Kenzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly allowed the Lord, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was, and behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men to augment, yet the fierce anger of the Lord towards Israel. For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and the cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready on before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance, but we will not inherit with them on yonder side of Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side of the Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, if ye will go on before the Lord to war, and will go all of you on over Jordan before the Lord until he have driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then after ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build your cities for your little ones, and folds for your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commanded. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle should be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over every man on for war before the Lord to battle as my Lord said. So concerning them, Moses commanded Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the chief fathers of the tribe of the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass with you over Jordan, every man armed to battle before the Lord, and the land shall be subdued before you, then ye shall give them the land of Gilead for possession. But if they will not pass over with you armed, they shall have possession among you in the land of Canaan. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as the Lord hath said unto thy servant, so will we do. We will pass over armed before the Lord unto the land of the Canaan, that the possession of our inheritance on this side Jordan may be ours. And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben and unto half of the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, the king of Bashan, the land which the cities thereof and the coast, even the cities of the country round and about, and the children of Gad built Dibon and Ataroth and Aroer and Ataroth, Shophan and Jeazar and Jogbeha and Beth Nimrah and Beth Horan, fenced cities and folds for sheep. And the children of Reuben built Heshbon and Lealah and Kerjathaim, and Nebo, and Baalamon, these names being changed, and Shibma, and gave other names unto the cities which they built. And the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and took it and dispossessed the Amorites which was in it. And Moses gave Gilead unto Machir, the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt there. And Jair, the son of Manasseh, went and took the small towns thereof and called them Havonjerah. And Nobah went and took Kenath and the villages thereof and called Nobah after his own name. Amen.
Amen. Chapter 33. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their army under the land of Moses and Aaron.
I can hear you, Mimi.
One more back.
I can hear you, Mimi.
And Moses wrote there going out, And Moses wrote their going out and according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their going out. And they departed from Ramesses in the first month of the 15th day of the first month on the morrow after the Passover. The children of Israel went out with an high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them, upon their gods. Also the Lord executed judgment. And the children of Israel removed from Ramesses and pitched in Succoth, and they departed from Succoth and pitched in Etham, which is in the edge of the wilderness. And they removed from Etham and turned again unto Pihahiroth, which is before Baal Zephon, and they pitched before Migdal, and they departed from before Pi Horus, and passed through the midst of the sea into the wilderness, and went 3 days journey in the wilderness of Etham, and pitched in Marah. And they removed from Marah and came to unto Elim, and in Elim were 12 fountains of water and 70 palm trees, and they pitched there. And they removed from Elim and encamped by the Red Sea, and they removed from the Red Sea and encamped in the wilderness of Sin. And they took their journey out of the wilderness of Sin and encamped in Dothkath. And they departed from Dothkath and encamped in Alush, and they removed from Alush and encamped at Rephidim, where was no water for people to drink. And they departed from Rephidim and pitched in the wilderness of Sinai. And they removed from the desert of Sinai and pitched at Kibroth Hataba. And they departed from Kibroth Hataba and encamped at Hazaroth. And they departed from Hazaroth and pitched in Rithma. And they departed from Rithma and pitched in Ramon Perez. And they departed from Ramon Perez and pitched in Libna. And they removed from Libna and pitched at Rissa and they journeyed from Rissa and pitched in Kahilatha. And they went from Kahilatha and pitched in Mount Shaphar. And they removed from Mount Shaphar and encamped in Harada. And they removed from Harada and pitched in Machpelah. And they removed from Machpelah and encamped at Tahath. And they departed from Tahath and pitched at Tara. And they removed from Tara and pitched in Mizpah. And they went from Mizpah and pitched in Hashmona. And they departed from Hashmona and encamped at Mosiroth. And they departed from Mosiroth and pitched in Beni-Jakim. And they removed from Beni-Jakim and encamped at Haragidad. And they went from Haragidad and pitched in Zapatha. And they removed from Zapatha and encamped at Ebrona. And they departed from Ebrona and encamped at Ezion Gabar. And they removed from Ezion Gabar and pitched in the wilderness of Zin, which is Kadesh. And they removed from Kadesh and pitched in Mount Hor in the edge of the land of Edom. And Aaron the priest went up into the mountain Hor, and at the commandment of the Lord, and died there in the 40th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the first day of the 15th month. And Aaron was in 100, I'm sorry.
In the fifth month.
Oh, fifth month. In the first day of the fifth month. And Aaron was 123 years old when he died in Mount Hor. And King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south in the land of Canaan, heard of the coming of the children of Israel. And they departed from Mount Hor and pitched in Zemana. And they departed from Zemana and pitched in Punon. And they departed from Punon and pitched in Obeth. And they departed from Obeth and pitched in Isaiah-Boram in the border of Moab. And they departed from Eam and pitched in the Bon-Gad. And they departed from Bibon Gad and encamped in Almendi-Blethiam, and they removed from Almendi-Blethiam and pitched in the mountains of Abiram before Nebo, and they departed from the mountains of Abiram and pitched in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, and they pitched by Jordan from Beth Zemoth even unto Abel Shittim in the plains of Moab. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, Then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quick pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by a lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more ye shall give, the more inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give, the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of their fathers, ye shall inherit. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in their eye, in your eyes, and thorns in your thighs, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them.
Amen. All right now. So we're going to start in 32. Let me get my Bible turned over here to it. We ain't got long to go. We'll be done. Okay, what tribe decided they wanted their inheritance early? Which one of the tribes? It's in verse 33. In chapter 32, but verse 33. It says, let me see, wait a minute. Okay. It says, and Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, and unto half the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sion, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land which the cities thereof in the coast, even the cities of the countries round and about. So it was Gad, children of Gad, the children of Reuben, and half tribe, the children of Manasseh. What did they agree they would do first before they received their inheritance? Said they would go, they're going to go to war. They're going to build their stuff. They said that they would build their stuff first because Moses reminded them what God had did to the other ones that didn't do what he told them to do. He killed them. So Moses told them, reminded them what God did to them. And so they said, well, what we'll do is we'll build up our sheepfold, our sheep places for our cattle, and little houses, whatever, for our families. And then we're going to leave our families here, but we're going to go on to war before the Lord like he commanded us to. Every one of us that can hold a rifle or can fight at war, we're going to do that before the Lord, so that the Lord, and we will not stop fighting until the children of Israel is in their land, what God promised them. So, in other words, they would go before Israel on the other side of the Jordan to fight the enemies of the Lord so Israel can take possession of the promised land. That's in verse 27 of 32. And then 33, what did God want the children of Israel to do when they crossed over into the land of Canaan? What did he tell them to do? You know, they're supposed to take the land. They're supposed to drive out, and it's in 52. He told them to drive out them inheritance, because, and those are the Canaanites. That's what I was telling y'all. He promised that land to them, because he had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob this land for their children. He promised the land of Canaan to them, but they had to go in and take the land, because the Canaanites, that's all they did was worship idols and stuff in the land flowing with milk and honey. So, verse 52. Ooh. Wait a minute, John. Yeah, he said, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all of their pictures and destroy all of the molten images and quiet pluck down all their high places. Because, you know, we ain't even supposed to have pictures and mirrors and stuff on the wall. Y'all know that? We ain't supposed to have all that stuff on our walls and stuff. And I had went to Prophet Sherrod's house one time, and it looked so strange in there because she had nothing on her wall. She had nothing on her walls. I was like, did she just move her? What? But it wasn't that. Because they can be considered as idols. I got some on my wall. I don't pay attention to them, and I'm sure we all have. But that's why it was saying plug down the pictures and all that stuff, because you ain't supposed to have them on your walls. But because they always worship idols and molten images, and they have them up in the place of worship, just like the Christmas trees that they have in the churches. I don't feel like they should have the Christmas trees in the churches, but I ain't nobody to say that. Okay, question number two. How would the inhabitants of the land be a thorn in the side of the children of Israel? How would the inhabitants of the land be a thorn in the side of the children of Israel?
If they didn't do what God had told them to do,
if
he would not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricked in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land where ye dwell. Like, dang, that is crazy, because what is he saying? They gonna get on their nerves so bad, or is it just gonna really hurt them, like, for real?
It's just like that thorn in the flesh. Yep, absolutely. And I mean, it's been a good thing, but, and I'm just looking in the commentary, but it says this chapter tells us about the half-heartedness tribe. They half-hearted tribes, Reuben and Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh asked for the land on the wrong side of the Jordan River. See, they're supposed to be on the other side of the Jordan River. And this incident has a tremendous spiritual application for us as we consider the Jordan River as a type of death and resurrection of Christ. And another thing, and then I'm in 32, and the last verse in 32 and 33, these tribes that chose the wrong side of Jordan did not have the opportunity of crossing over the Jordan. We need to realize that the River Jordan does not symbolize our death. When we get to the book of Joshua, we'll see that it teaches how we pass over into Canaan. In other words, there are two places for the children, for the child of God to live. You can live in the wilderness of the world and be a spiritual perpetual, or you can enter into the place of spiritual blessing, represented by Canaan. Now, how can we pass over the Jordan into the place of spiritual blessing? When we see the children of Israel crossing over Jordan, we find two great lessons. The stone that was put in Jordan speaks of the death of Christ. The stones that were taken out of Jordan speaks of the resurrection of Christ. And we can get our spiritual blessings by the death and resurrection of Christ. And so that's like communion. The 2 1/2 tribes did not cross the Jordan. Did this work out to their disadvantage? Yes. Our Lord said that by their fruits ye shall know them. And when he was here on earth, one time he was trying to get away from the crowd, and they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Now, who are the Gadarenes? They are the tribe of Gad, living on the wrong side of the Jordan River. And when Jesus came to them, he found them in the pig business. You remember? And when he healed the demon-possessed man, the Gadarenes asked the Lord Jesus to leave their country. They had gotten into a sad condition. This also happened to the child of God who fails to cross the Jordan and get into the land of promise. So Gadarenes had gotten into the business of forming pigs. And God told us don't eat that over in Leviticus because it's got a split hook. So when he delivered that man over in the New Testament from all them, the legions, the demon of legions, they said, please don't kill us. Cast us into the swine, into the pigs. And so that's what he did. So they was upset with him, and that's why they asked him to leave their land. But that was Jesus. He didn't have to do nothing. You know, they asked him to leave. And see, when God tell us different things that we're not supposed to do and not supposed to live, like I was telling you about the pictures on the wall, we all have them. We don't worship them, though. We don't. I know none of us worship those pictures. And so many times, pictures can mean too many things. And that's why we shouldn't have them up in our house. But it's some things they just look, it brings back beautiful memories and spiritual things a lot of times. Even the picture of Jesus, that ain't even him. You know, the white look with the pretty hair and all that kind of stuff, that ain't even him. But we think it's him. And so we look at him and, oh, Lord, we just love you. And that ain't even him. Because they say he had hair like wool. He didn't have no pretty straight curly and all that. He had hair like wool. That's what Revelation said. So that's why sometimes we shouldn't have a lot of pictures and stuff, because it's almost like you worshiping idols. I got some roses, some flowers up in here. And sometimes I feel like taking them down. I just leave them up because they just flowers. And the Lord know I love plants and flowers and stuff, but you shouldn't have a lot of stuff on your walls and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to chapter 33, and then we're going to get on off of here. So we didn't answer all the questions. And chapter 33 was basically about the log of the journey, the log to possession of the land. It says, here we have a log of their journey. We said before that we do not have a record of the happenings during their 40 years of wandering, only a few insulated incidents. But here is the log of the journey, a record of the places they encamped. And what this is telling how the children, God let them stay in the wilderness 40 years for being disobedient to what he told them. And this was just letting you know where they went. They went here, and then they moved and removed to here, and they went there 40 years. When all it took was one day, all it took from where they was to where they needed to be was one day. But since they were so disobedient to the Lord, he let them just wander out there for 40 years. Just let them wander in a circle for 40 years. So it pays us to be obedient to what the Lord tells us to do. It really do. Let me see. Okay, I'm going to read the last part of it. Here is something many folks, especially the skeptics, raise questions about. People say they think it is very cruel and unfair for the Lord to tell Israel to wipe out the inhabitants of the land when Israel also had been disobedient. They contended that because the people in the land were such lovely folk that the Lord's wanting to put them out is indefensible. That is the way the liberal and the skeptics have been talking for years. The chances are that every liberal today is living on a piece of ground that once belonged to the Indians. And I don't see them giving back their properties to the Indians. Absolutely. And black folks, too. And look at it this with me for just a minute. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. This is his earth, his command, what is to be. He command what is to be done. He told Israel to go into the land and to destroy their pictures. That is their idol. The architects are digging them up today. They are. And they were to destroy their melted images. They were to demolish their high places. These were the places of pagan and heathen worship where the vilest practices took places. Now, if you ever run up on, and these people be like at Tulare Market, when they be outside selling stuff, when you see something say pagan, don't buy nothing from them, because that's witchcraft. Them witches. Don't buy nothing. Make sure it don't say pagan. And the Canaanites, that's what they were. They was practicing paganism. The Canaanites were in a very low spiritual state. Not only were they idolaters, far from the living and the true God, but promiscuous and sexual sins were a way of life and a part of their worship. As a result, the Canaanites were eaten up by the venereal diseases. Our promiscuous society tries to minimize the terribleness of sexual sins. We have an epidemic of venereal diseases right today, a plague, and it is a grave danger. It does great injury to the human race. These diseases-ridden Canaanites lived at the crossroads of the world. The land is one of the most sensitive spots that there is on earth. It is that yet today. It is always, it always have been. I think it always will be. It is a strategic land, and the army of the world have marched through the land. Trade routes of the world go through the land. The Canaanites had contacted with great number of people, and they were dissimulated. They're loathsome diseases everywhere. So God is going to put a new tenant in the land. The Canaanites were destroying his property, and they were hurting the rest of mankind. So God is going to put them out. Don't come to me, my friend, and say that God did not have the right to do that. It was actually the mercy. God destroyed the Canaanites for the sake of coming generations. That is the same reason that God sent the flood. God was preserving the future generation. So back in those days, the Canaanites was having all kind of sex, and it was unclean sex, and they was getting those venereal diseases and messing people up all over Canaan. And so when he told the children of Israel to go in there and destroy and take that land and kill all of them and take down them pitches and take down the high places and stuff, it was just infested with diseased people carrying around those syphilis and gonorrhea and all that stuff, those venereal diseases. And back then, they couldn't get rid of them because they didn't have no doctors. They was doing promiscuous stuff and out there having sex and stuff like that when they weren't supposed to having sex with anybody. So that's why God told the children of Israel to destroy the land, because he had given them the land, the Canaanites, and they just messed it up. So he took it. He wanted to take it back and give it to a new tenant and let some his property back. That's God. That ain't their property. He took it back and gave it to somebody that was going to take care of it and appreciate it. So, yeah, any questions about anything or comments? Okay, I think it was a good lesson. It was a whole lot of, and I didn't know why it was saying removed here, and then they moved and removed there and stuff, but that was the way they was traveling for 40 years in the wilderness, the children of Israel. The Israelites, I say the Israelites, because the Israelites was their parents. The children that they got out there in them 40 years are the ones that's going into the promised land, into Canaan. It's like he let them all just live out there for 40 years till they all died off. And when they all died, he sent the children, Joshua and them, over into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. So I think it was a good lesson. Y'all. I really enjoyed everything that I heard and we talked about. So we're going to get ready to close on. I'm not going to keep y'all any longer. We only have about 8 or 9 minutes anyway, but and we would have had more than that to talk about, but it was all those cities that they were traveling to. Anyway, I'm going to close off because I'm a little tired and got a lot on my mind and a lot on my plate. So we're going to get ready to close out. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to study your word, Lord. Every time that we have Bible study, Father, we learn something new. And we just give you glory and praise. We just thank you, Lord, for just letting us learn something else and learn something new every time we study. Lord, I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice. God, cover every member, Lord. In the name of Jesus, of this ministry, of this church, I ask you to cover Apostle Dean and every sick and shut-in, Lord. I ask you all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Father, thank you tonight. Amen. Amen, y'all. God bless y'all for supporting me, getting on here, supporting me. You didn't have to do it, but I thank God that you did. I love y'all. I'll be on there live in the morning if y'all get up early. God bless you. Have a good night.
Love you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Love you too. God bless you.
God bless you, baby. Come on now.